Hey guys, I'm so excited to get in your hands one of my value sheets. That's right. If you're an executive or a faith-driven entrepreneur and you want to get values, text the word values with an S to 66866 to get signed up for a life and leadership newsletter. And in return, we'll send you a copy of our Christian value sheet to help you decide who you are and what you stand on. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Follow to Lead podcast, a Christian leaders podcast powered by Greg Fay Insurance. If you haven't talked to my man, Greg Fay, do so today. Get the coverage you need and the customer service you deserve. Go to GregFayInsurance.com. Today on the podcast, Kayla Kraft. Her latest book, What Do You Really Want?, is a deep insight on what it means to navigate the uncertainties of life, about how to lean in to what you want and why it matters. If you don't know about Kayla yet, she is this fireball leader who absolutely does some incredible things to help you live the life you want. Such a fun conversation with her. You're going to learn that she cares deeply about making sure that you are doing exactly what you want in life. I'm so thankful for my opportunity to connect with her. I know you're going to love her. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with the inspirational icon, Kayla Kraft. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited today to have entrepreneur, former ER nurse, mother, author extraordinaire, Kayla Kraft. Kayla, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, I love to jump into your story a little bit, and kind of as we look at this, let's look at it from a macro perspective first. With all the things that you have your hand in your story, how would you describe the calling that God has placed on your life?
Ooh. You know, I call myself a water walker. That's how I would describe the the calling that God has put on my life, because every time I go to do something, it's like nobody around me has done it before. And I have to be like, God, is that really you? Is that really you calling me out to that place? And every time, you know, he shows up and he provides, he makes a way, he brings the people. And so that's really how I would describe it. It's been a life of just living in faith.
Mm-hmm. One of the interesting things about your story is that you didn't kind of start out as an entrepreneur. You were an ER nurse, you were on the grind, and you know, my mom's a nurse, so I know that lifestyle. It's really hard. When did you realize that God was calling you to something bigger? And I mean, not to say that being an ER nurse isn't huge, right? That's already a huge calling. Right. But when did you know that God was calling you out of that and into something different?
Well, I was 23 years old, and I had a one-year-old, and I was trying to get pregnant with my second child. And I looked around and I was like, I don't really, like, I saw people that were older than me, 10, 20 years older than me. And I asked myself the question, would I want to trade places with them? You know, do I want their life? And the answer was no. They were still stressed out. They hated their job. And I said, okay, if I continue to do the same thing, I'm going to end up like them, right? So I've got to do something different now. And that was in the time where Facebook was just beginning. Like, it was just when normal people could get a Facebook. You didn't have to have your college email anymore, you know? And nobody knew what an influencer was, what a personal brand was. And God gave me this gift where I'm very blunt and I just say it like it is. I've learned over time to have more of a filter. God, thank you, God. But, you know, in my early 20s, there was no filter. And it was really great because I would just post on Facebook everything I was thinking, everything I was doing. And I didn't realize it, but I was becoming an influencer and creating a powerful personal brand. And so I didn't have this vision that, oh, God has something more for me. I just was being myself online and realizing I really enjoyed sharing with people what I was learning. And that's the biggest thing is I'm a teacher and I know you are too. You know, we want to teach all the things that we've learned, the experience that we have. And so I would just do that. And as I did that more and more, people kept asking me, Kayla, well, how do I do this for my business? you know, and I'd hear from local people, how can you help me with my social media? And I'd say, yeah, I can help you. Here's what you need to do. And it just came natural to me. I just knew what people needed to do to show up and get more sales. And so I started to coach people. We ran a social media agency. We've done a lot of things on social media. And so it gradually happened over time. And I think that's really important because, you know, if God told me, Kayla, you're going to become a multimillionaire. You're going to live in your dream location in Newport Beach. You're going to have a wonderful lifestyle. And here's all the things you're going to have to do to get there. And here's all the painful moments you're going to have to experience to get there. I honestly, at 23 years old, would have been like, now I'm good. I'll stay as an ER nurse. Honestly, if I knew everything I was going to have to go through in order to get to where I am today, I would not have signed up for it. And I think that's important to point out because God's not going to show you everything that you're going to have to do in order to get where you want to go. You just got to keep taking steps of faith, and he will guide you. He'll direct your path. You know, you're not going to get it right 100% of the time, obedience wise, but he has grace on you. And, you know, eventually you get to where you want to go. And even now, you know, I haven't arrived. I'm not where I want to be. I'm doing things that, you know, make me uncomfortable. Oh my gosh. We were just talking about it before, you know, getting out of my comfort zone. You're like, you've done hard things. This isn't hard. But new things always feel hard. Change always feels hard, but that's what God calls us to do. He doesn't want us to be stagnant. He wants us to grow and to accomplish the assignments he's given us. And so, I think that I love this life that I'm living, you know, of growth. And I know you're doing the same thing, like, you know, just, okay, grow.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is I think that as a leader, you oftentimes feel like you should be doing something else or something next, or like you're constantly moving. I'm always curious, as someone who's kind of taken steps of faithfulness, this self-proclaimed water walker, how do you know when it's God's voice and not your desire or ego?
Okay, I have made so many mistakes when it comes to this, because I feel like if you're looking for the Bible to be if you're looking for something in the Bible to be justified by, you know, anything, you could probably find something in the Bible, but you have to look in the Bible and find context around it. You know what I mean? Like, okay, wait, what was God really trying to say here? Was he trying to say you should burn the boats and go into the wilderness for 40 days and really give up your company, Kayla? No, but I have done that, you know, where I have legit burned $1 million income streams because I was like tired. And that wasn't, I don't think what, now looking back, I'm like, that's not what God wanted you to do at all, but you found a reason for it, you know? So I think the best thing is there's three things. Number one, you got to be, whatever God wants you to do is going to be confirmed in the Word of God. Period, end of story. And then the second thing is God gives us the Holy Spirit. And so we will have peace. If it's of God, we will have peace. And then the third thing is we need wise counsel in our life. So that's why you need to be a part of a local church, and you need to be under a pastor who's going to be giving you guidance and praying on your behalf and, you know, like confirming things for you, you know? So I think that that's one thing I've learned over time is to submit to leadership, you know, like, and I've also had to work really hard to find those pastors that I will submit under, that I'm like, yes, you are walking the talk. You're not stagnant. Like you're going after your assignment. 'Cause that's really important to me. Like to submit, I need to know that like you're pursuing God, and I know you're not perfect, but I need to know that you're like pursuing him hardcore. So, that was a big thing that changed for me.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we say around here a lot is that if you're not dedicated to your disciplines, you'll be destroyed by your distractions.
Oh, you're a wordsmith. I love it. Yes.
Well, thank you. So I'm always curious when I find somebody who's a high achiever, who's doing a lot of things, what are some of your daily disciplines that we can steal that are like, if you don't do these things, you're not the best version of yourself?
Well, number one is reading the Word of God. Just reading the Bible every single day, and not just, I don't do it as a checklist type of situation where, oh, I've done it. It's like, I have my Bible out. I have a Bible in my car. I have a Bible in every living room in our house, on my nightstand. I mean, in my office, I have a Bible everywhere. And so I'm just constantly reminded, like, God's truth is all around me. And I'm constantly just going to the Word of God. And so I think that's huge. It's a big, that was a big game changer for me. Working out. I work out every single day. That's a non-negotiable. It has been for 12 years of my life. And I would say the next thing that is probably that most people, I think, don't do is declarations. I don't know a lot of people that do this until I teach them that, but I am huge on confessing scripture and declaring. I mean, I like Deuteronomy 28, like every day. And, you know, the prayer of Jabez every day. Like, I am saying these things out loud all the time. And I do it at night before I go to bed. And I do it when I wake up. And I do it on the way to the kids' school. We're doing them together because I want scripture to just be a part of their heart. Because I know, like, when I get out there and we're doing life and people are everywhere, you know, and people are not perfect. When I get annoyed or something happens, you know, I get bumped, I get cut off by a car, you know, my flesh would come out. And it's like, no, I want God to come out. I want grace. I want compassion to come out. And so the more that I declared scripture over my life, I feel like it just, it becomes me, you know? So I think that's a huge thing, discipline wise.
I get the impression that you run at a pretty high tempo, like a kind of a hot pace, like intensity, right? Uh-huh. And so this question is really, because I'm the same way, but also I have a real appreciation for the deep work. And so when you wrote What Do You Really Want, this book is deep, right? And it's not, you know, this kind of deep work. How do you create space in your heart to do the deep work? How do you create space in your life? Like, because it's really easy for entrepreneurs to just go bang, bang, bang. Let's solve all these problems and let's chop it up and let's keep going. How do you get to the deep stuff?
Well, this is why I always have a mentor that I pay to be in my life, period. Because if I'm paying for something, I show up. It's why I have a personal trainer that I pay for ahead of time, right? 3 months in advance, she's paid for. And I don't like to lose money. And so I show up for things. And I think a lot of people, they want favors from people. They want to get coaching for free. You know, they want to go to coffee and pick my brain or do whatever, you know? And it's like, no, you got to pay to play. And what I'm saying here is so important. I hope everybody really understands this concept. Okay. When somebody charges you for something. Okay. So they're like tech. I mean, it could be therapy. They're charging you for a space to just be, but when you pay attention. And so, hey, I want an hour of free space in my week to work on myself, to go deep with myself. I'm going to pay a therapist. I'm going to pay a coach. I'm going to, you know, pay somebody something so that way I show up for myself. And the more money you make, I'm just going to tell you this, the more money you make, the more you're going to have to pay. Because if I continue to hire people that are $100 an hour, I'm not going to show up. I just won't. I will not show up because I'll be like, I'll make $100 another way. I'll not show up for that, which is crazy. But, you know, here we are. So I think that's really important for me because I work with somebody where it's 2 hours every Monday. That's how I start off my week, is with her, and we're working through what's happening up here and really focused on like what I'm doing to grow myself and my business. And it's that one time where, you know, I show up. Another thing is I commit to community. And I think that's important. You got to be in a community that doesn't idolize busy, that for the sake of being busy, but that they put God, you know, at the forefront of everything. So there's a Bible study I've been a part of for 6 years, and we meet every Monday too in the afternoon for 3 hours. And we write commitment cards to each other. It's like, no, we're showing up for each other. It's not, oh, I'm busy today, I'm not going to show up. It's not that kind of Bible study. It's, no, I'm committed to praying for you over the next year, and I'm going to show up for you. And that's really helpful because that's also another space for me to think about things in a new way, change my perspective, and, you know, learn from other people's testimonies around me. And that's giving me life. It's increasing my faith. It's strengthening myself in the Lord, right? So I think we've got a number one community, right? And then we also have time for ourselves by investing in ourselves.
That's so good. I don't want to go down this rabbit trail too long, but I think it's worthwhile discussing. A lot of Christians struggle with money. A lot of churches struggle with the topic of money and paying for things and the value of things. I'm curious what your journey, how your journey led you to this place where you're really comfortable just saying, hey, you got to pay for it. This isn't like you got to pay if you want to pay attention. That's profound wisdom that's clearly been kind of built into your life over the years. When did that switch come from happening in your head?
Well, that's a really good question. But I believe that a lot of churches have a stronghold of poverty over them. Hmm. And there's a lot of people walking around, they're Christians, that have a poverty spirit attached to them. And we have to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And for me, I grew up in a mega church. So there was no shortage of money at that church. I saw, you know, extravagant things everywhere. Pastors lived in amazing homes. You know, people around me had money, you know, not like money, but like, you know, they were well off. And here I was, I didn't have that. Okay. I was raised by a single mom with my dad in jail. We didn't have a lot. But the people I knew in the church were extremely generous. They would always take care of my mom. I remember one year she didn't have any money for Christmas presents. Everybody at the church pitched in and made sure we had presents to open up on Christmas Day. That's what I thought of the church, right? Is generous, overflow. Yeah. And everybody at the church had money, you know? So to me, in my mind, I just made the connection. God blesses his people, period, right? And if you go and look, remember I said, if you go and look in the Bible for something you want to find, you're going to find it. And Deuteronomy 28 is right there. It says, if you are living in obedience with the will of God, you will be blessed. You're going to be blessed coming in, blessed going out. You know, my storehouses are going to be overflowing. So that's just kind of what I expected. Okay. Now, here I am, 23, 24, 25, making almost $1 million a year. So I had no problem making money and accepting it. Okay. But what I did have a problem with was keeping it. I felt really bad that everybody else in my family was still struggling financially, that my dad was still in jail, by the way, you know, in my early 20s. And so I was just like, he came out of jail and I bought him a house, you know, like what? God didn't tell you to do that. I felt guilty for having all this money. And I realized that was also a poverty spirit. So I had to completely get rid of that. And I found that out by reading books, by actually studying the word of God, looking at money as seeds. You know, we have, God gives us the beautiful ability to realize that he owns it all. He owns it all of it is his. And so he gives you money as seeds. He gives you time as seeds. He gives you talents as seeds. And he wants you to sow them for the harvest. And we're called to be multipliers. So once I really started to understand this concept, it was like, okay, if everything is yours, God, where do you want everything to go? Hmm. And he, of course, wants us to be living in an overflow. I believe that, you know, yeah. I don't believe that, you know, people will go, well, he wants us to be, you know, poor in spirit. It's like, no, poor in spirit is knowing I need God. I need a savior at all times because without him, I am nothing. If Kayla is left to her own ability, people are going to get hurt. People are going to get deserted. I was a bulldozer. You'll get walked all over really quick if Kayla is left to her own flesh. But with God, like I need him all the time. So he gives me compassion for people. And I realize that if I sow a seed into somebody who's struggling, right? Let's say my dad, for instance, you know, he's still struggling to this day. But I have to pray, like, God, do you want me to help him? Because if I sow my seed into him, where's the multiplication going to happen? Yeah. And, you know, I have to ask myself these really hard questions that it's like, you know, it's not going to be multiplied. So it's, you know, where do you want it to go, God? And sometimes it makes a lot of people, not sometimes, most of the time when you have to tell people no, because God told you no, you're going to get some angry people. But I feel like the more and more I'm obedient to where he wants the seed to go, the more harvests I see happen.
Hey guys, just pausing this conversation with Kayla to remind you to check out some of our incredible sponsors. If you're in the market for your next home, your dream home, or your investment home, you need to talk to my dear friend, Trent Barga. Trent is this incredible real estate leader who wants to walk alongside you as you figure out exactly what steps are next. His link is in the bio. Now is the time to connect with him to get the home that you want to call your home forever or just your next. Speaking of homes, you've got to check out my friends over at Five Star Home Services. Five Star Home Services is a family-owned and operated HVAC, plumbing, and electric business. They have what's called a profit on purpose mentality, and I absolutely love the way that they lean in to helping their community. Some of my dear friends over there, they do work for me. I know they can do work for you. Go to my5starhomeservices.com and tell them Tony sent you. So now, without any further ado, let's connect and finish our conversation with Kayla.
One of the things about your story that I appreciate is that you really kind of, like, as you alluded to, you kind of pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, you really were had a tough upbringing and setting boundaries and really hustling. Your kids will not have that same upbringing. Yeah. Right? Like they're clear. I mean, you and Chase are clearly, like, all in on your kids, and I love that. I've listened to your podcast. You guys are for them, which I resonates. I deeply appreciate. How are you building a spirit of entrepreneurialism and toughness in the next generation of your family? Because obviously they're not going to have the same struggles that you did.
Right. Well, I think it's really important to understand that the most powerful thing we can do for our children is not even to, like, people will say, well, make sure that your kids get saved. Well, we want to make sure that our kids understand how to develop their own faith. And in order to do that, we need to teach them how to think about things. So I am raising critical thinkers. So I don't want them to just believe the word of God because mommy said to believe the word of God. I'm not trying to brainwash them, right? I want them to believe the word of God, and I want them to ask questions about why should we believe? Why is God real? What is heaven like? And why do I want to go there? I mean, teaching them all of the reasons how we became strong in our faith, you know? And my kids will say now, like, I don't understand how people, you know, don't believe in God because life is so hard without God. You know, my kids will say things like that. I'm like, yeah, okay, they're getting it. They're starting to understand. So that's the biggest thing for Chase and I is, you know, we don't necessarily give our kids money to clean the toilets, you know, like allowance like most people do, but we give our kids allowance for reading books. Okay. So we want them to read books. My daughter right now is going through Francine Rivers, The Lineage of Grace. And it's this big, huge, you know, it goes through the whole birth line of Jesus, all the women. And she's like, oh my gosh. And I was like, okay, you want $100? Read this book. And she's learning so much from that book in a very creative way. I'm obsessed with it. But we do things like that, hey, leaders are learners. And so we reward learning in our house, you know? Another thing that we constantly are doing is just teaching them generosity, you know, and what does that look like? It's not giving a bonus tip to people at a restaurant. You know, people go, oh, you're so generous. It's like, no, it's about going and praying and asking, like, God, like, what am I passionate about and what do I want to give to? You know, that God, like, feels like our family should be doing together. And we're constantly just looking for different projects to be doing together. I mean, I could go on and on about what we're doing as parents, but if anybody could take anything away from this, it's teach your kids how to be critical thinkers.
It's actually a perfect transition into the book, because this book was kind of formed out of this idea about, are you asking the right questions? Mm-hmm. And so before we get into the Take 7 itself, I'm curious to get your thoughts on, if there's a leader listening right now who's maybe stuck in a rut with their team, how do you become a better question asker, former, someone who's, like, putting critical thought into this as an adult and ask those the right questions and not just any question?
Well, I think in order to be a good leader, right, and we ask powerful questions of our team, we have to be really comfortable with ourselves. Mm. And if we're not, we're not going to be okay with some of the answers we get from our team. And so I would first say, do the work on yourself, go through Take 7, in what do you really want first? And I'll tell you a story. I just had a CEO. He owns a multi-million-dollar company in California. And we've been working together for several months. And he has a team of, you know, 10 staff. And he found himself, you know, again, kind of like what I was struggling with, where, you know, he's doing really well and he is letting his employees kind of get away with low performance because he feels bad for them. They have stuff in their life, right? And what we had to realize is the more that he did this work is he realized he was actually running his company from his seven-year-old self, in making the decisions, like leading these people, really accepting people's excuses for low performance. And, you know, if people were Christians, then he really like let them get away with bad behavior, which is not what God wants us to do.
Right.
You know, he wants us to have standards for people and say, meet the standard, because this is when you're going to meet your God-given self, right? This is really who you're going to see, where you're going to see like what God has for you and what you're actually capable of. And so the more he did the inner work on just like some stuff that he went through in his childhood and let go of people pleasing, got comfortable with saying no, and also getting comfortable with going, hey, I hired you to do this. You're doing X, Y, Z down here. Very big gap. I'm going to need you to come up here. And here's what I'm going to do to help you. I'm going to come alongside you and help you here. But if we cannot get to these standards in the next 90 days, we're going to have to part ways. And, and guess what that does? It goes, cream rises to the top. You're either going to rise up, see what you're capable of, which I hired you for. I know you're capable of this, or else you're going to have to go, because everybody around me is going to live out a standard of excellence, period. Because we all need to be seeing what we're capable of. We need to be having more impact on the world. And I have to have that culture of excellence. And if I let one person get away with lukewarm behavior, not cutting it over and over and over again, it creates a culture of lukewarm. And what does God say about lukewarm? He's going to spit you out. He doesn't want it.
Right.
Be hot or cold, right? You're either all in on doing your very best or go get another job. And I know that that sounds very black or white, but when you live out your champion self as a CEO, leading people, you call others up. You say, hey, if I can live in my champion self, live out my highest capabilities, you can too. And I'm going to expect that of you. And then people see, wow, I have greatness inside of me. I can do so much more than I ever thought possible. Wow, that's really when you start impacting, you know, and you live that life going, God is so good. What more does he have? And you start experiencing true blessings, I think.
Yeah, that's really good. I have a teacher friend who always says that clarity is kindness, right? And that lack of clarity causes a lot of problems, right? So clarity is kindness for the students, for yourself, for the parents. Like, the more clear that you can be, the kinder. And that's one of the things I appreciate about the Take Seven, like these seven questions that you put together. They're really about getting some clarity inside of yourself so that you can show up clearly outside of yourself. How did you begin to put these together? It feels like, as I was reading the questions and kind of looking at the book, like it was a lifelong journey of like, these are all the things I learned over an extended period of time. I'm going to push them all together. And I'm going to say, if you can digest these, something amazing might happen.
That's exactly what it is. It's from all the experience, right? So when I found myself, you know, building out my personal brand in my early 20s, I was in network marketing. So I was building out a sales organization where we sold protein shakes. And people would come to me and I'd say, okay, well, what do you want? What's going to make it worth it for you to post online every day? And people would say, oh, I want to make $1,000 a month. I say, okay, how is that going to change your life? Like, what's that going to do for you? And a lot of people would say, well, it's going to, you know, I don't know. I'll just stop living paycheck to paycheck. And here's where step one came from. It's that most people know what they don't want. Most people are really good at telling you all the things that are not working for them in their lives. But the problem is they don't know what to do with that information. Here's all the things I hate about my life. I don't know how to change it. So I'm just going to stay hating it because I need to know all of the steps to change it. And really, remember that life of faith says, okay, let's start here with some information. This is some feedback. Now we need to go step two. When did you first start accepting this? Why did this become the standard in your life? And this is really powerful because people, there's two types of people. People that go, I started accepting this at 8 years old. And they just take responsibility. I started accepting this. And the other people, I didn't accept that. You know, my mom and dad did this. My sister and brother did this. And that's why I'm here. You know, they want to blame everybody else. So if you're in the latter category, if you're the blamer, you know, I don't think you are because you're listening into this podcast. So you're wanting to grow. But, you know, I'd really say go pray. ask God to change your heart because he made you victorious, you know, and you're in an agreement with a lie from the enemy that, you know, says you're not enough and you're unworthy and it's everybody else's fault. So you got to fall out of agreement with that lie. But if you're in the former, right, going, okay, I accept that. You're somebody that takes radical responsibility for their life. And I'm proud of you because that's step one, because you're going accept. And acceptance is the first step to transformation. You go, I chose this, which means I can change it. That's really powerful. You go, I actually have the power to choose something different right now. Okay. And then we go into the feedback, right, of like, well, what part of me thought that this was okay? What part of me thought that it was okay to be in a toxic relationship with a certain friend? And we don't talk about this enough, actually, that there are toxic friendships out there that we allow, and especially in the church, you know? And so we need to start talking about this more. But, you know, what part of you showed up? And it's usually, you know, before you're 7 years old, your subconscious mind is formed. So what you believe to be true about people happens before you're 7 years old, where you go, oh, well, aren't all women like that? Don't all women gossip and kind of make digs at you? Isn't that normal? My mom did that for me. No, it's not normal, right? So we got to reparent that inner child. And so I love it because, you know, we're both parents. So we get to deal with our younger versions of ourselves every single day because we say, oh gosh, you know, what was going on when I was 11 years old? What was I exposed to? And what did I need from my parents, you know, versus what I got? And we get the opportunity now to give that to our own kids, but we also can reparent ourselves, you know, in that moment, say, okay, let me teach her something different about what a friendship looks like. Right. And, you know, I got all of this from working with, cause the question was, how did it come to be? Right. I got all of this because, you know, I'd help people through their stuff and I'd say, okay, we figured out what you want. You know, you want to make more money, you want to be happier. Okay. And here's, you started accepting, you know, low standards in your childhood. But then that feedback, that information wasn't enough, again, to get them to actually get what they wanted, right? So then we had to change perspectives. I realized that the people who actually held on, persisted through the hard times to reach their goals, they had a powerful perspective. And perspective is so powerful at step four because you own that and you could change it at any time. And if you could go and look at your life with a bird's eye view and say, you know, gosh, why is this happening right now? What is this springboarding me into? What is this making me stronger for in the future? And you start looking at it in a really powerful way and you go, okay, I'm going to get through this because I know what's on the other side. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's, you know, there's so much goodness on the other side of it. And, you know, then you go into, okay, where's gratitude? Where's gratitude in this? And there's always a reason to be thankful. And I don't know, you've probably come across this just, you know, in ministry, but people go through absolutely horrible things. I went through absolutely horrible things as a child that I never want my children to experience. And the way that I found gratitude in it all was actually just going, okay, because I experienced all of that trauma, it's made me such a strong mom. You know, I'm what they call, my son calls me a tiger mom. I don't know if you've ever heard that concept. It's like a helicopter mom, but a tiger mixed in on top of that helicopter. So it's like very protective over my babies. And I always know what's going on all the time. And that's just the way it is. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And I didn't get that. You know, my mom wasn't like that. She was too busy working all the time. She didn't know half the stuff that was going down. And with my kids, it's like my house is the place that everybody comes to. I know what's happening in every, all of their friends' lives. So I'm like, I got to gauge. And I'm always looking for crazy people to weed out of their lives. You know?
Yeah, the way I look at this is, you know, it's like an emotional management system, right? When you encounter someone or something, you can run through all of these steps. It's not one time forever. It's one time per occurrence of when you have an emotional spike, right? Like your emotional intensity spikes up, run through the seven steps. And I think with repetition, you could probably get, I mean, I would imagine you get pretty quick at them nowadays versus when you first started, right? What step is hardest for you?
Oh, that's a really good question. To be honest, I would say probably right now it's actually step six. What do you really want? Because I know what I really want in every area of my life, and you can't wave a magic wand and just get it. Right. Mm. So, and I also know what it takes, and I know, that there is, you know, a period of time where I'm not going to necessarily be living out what I currently want right now. And we talked about this, right? And so it's really hard for me because it's going and surrendering and going, okay, God, like obviously what I want for myself right now might not be, I have to accept the fact that it might not be in alignment with the your timeline. Mm. You know, I'm not saying that what I want isn't God-given. I believe it is. It's just there's a timeline, right? And the timeline, I have to have a new vision, right? I need God to be like, give me a new vision for this new timeline that you're putting me in right now. And let me have a good heart about it, you know? Give me a fresh want and a fresh desire for what have for me in this season. And that's hard, you know? That's really hard. That's what I would say.
This is good. Okay, I have one more question for you, but before I ask it, I know all the people on the interwebs are going to want to connect with you. Where is the best place to see what God is doing in your life? Where can they pick up their copy of the book? How can they keep tabs on your mission and ministry?
Okay, so if you just go to kaylacraft.com/book, you can find everything out there about the book, which is exciting. And everybody right now that gets the book will actually get access to my What Do You Really Want course, which is incredible. I take you through the Take 7 and really coach you through some things that might come up as you're going through Take 7. And you could find me on my podcast. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you obviously love podcasts. So I have a podcast called Crafted Entrepreneur. So I'd love for you guys to listen in over there and glean any wisdom.
Okay, the last question I always love to ask people, it's an advice question. I'm going to ask you to go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice, except I get to name the season of life that you're in.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited.
All right. So I want to take you in to your last day as an ER nurse. Oh. You just got home. You've hung up your scrubs for the very last time. If you're going to sit knee to knee with that younger woman, that younger version of yourself, that young woman, look her in the eyes, and you are going to give her one piece of advice about the journey she's going to go on. What are you going to tell her?
Oh my gosh. Only one piece of advice? I'd be like, don't do it. No, I'm joking. that's a good question. That's stumping me. I think what I would say is trust the Holy Spirit inside of you. And at that time, I'm thinking of that version of Kayla, she had faith, but it was, you know, an excitement-filled faith and a very much easily influenced kind of faith. So she would maybe listen to other people over herself, knowing like God was really working in me at a young age, and I could trust that God was doing things and paving a path for me. And that's really, I think, what she needed to know, because I made a lot. I mean, I have made so many bad decisions, not trusting the Holy Spirit inside of me, like knowing when you have that gut feeling, you know, don't go into business with that person. You know, it's all about people. Don't do that. And maybe getting advice from somebody else saying, oh, that's a great idea. Do that, you know, and hearing from multiple outsiders. Oh, yeah, go do that. Go do that. And everything inside of me saying, don't do it. And listening to the other people. Right? Because they were more successful. They had more experience, you name it. I would listen to them instead of trusting the Holy Spirit inside of me. And I think that's something that everybody can take from this, is that the Holy Spirit inside of you is like your GPS. You know, it's God's protection system for you. And so when everybody else says yes, and your body is saying no, you need to honor the Holy Spirit. And you will be rewarded for that, you know, and it might be hard. People might think you're crazy, but that's like the biggest thing I wish I would have known 10 years ago. For sure.
Amen. Amen. Kayla, thank you so much for your generosity of time and your spirit and what you're doing to build the kingdom. I deeply appreciate it. And I hope we can stay connected as we continue on in our journeys.
Of course. Thank you so much. This was awesome.
I told you guys, what a great conversation. I just love her energy, her ability to lean into the conversation. I knew that you would enjoy it. If you would do me a favor, follow Kayla on Instagram. Let her know that you heard her here on the podcast. Let her know how much you appreciated her insights. And I want you to know how much I appreciate you. I appreciate you and your ability to be a part of this community. And if there's anything I can do to help you, remember, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. You can go to @TWMilt on Instagram or text the word values to 66866 to make sure you get signed up for our Life and Leadership newsletter. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And remember, if you want to follow Jesus, you must be willing to move.